Hello and welcome to another episode of It Was Mooney, your source for all things movie, streaming, and pop culture related. I'm your host, Kosi, and I'm joined always by Wani B. And we're joined again in studio, once again by friend of the studio. What's up, Eric?
What's up, man?
What's up, brother?
Fist good bump. To be here again.
Fist bump it.
Best buddy of the show.
Fist bump it.
We already kind of gave that title to
Jeff. Yeah, stop saying that. Make all of our guests just feel really
jealous.
Hey,
we're like the second best buddy.
I know y'all are coming off hot of that Severance episode.
Co-best buddy.
Seriously, man, coming off of the Severance episode, man.
This guy gets it. This guy gets how good Severance is. But hey, Eric, I just need to point out, season two is better. Season one was great.
Look, man.
But season two is better.
That's everything I wanted to hear, too.
So far, season two everything is exceeding expectations.
Man, and it's so weird to just see where Ben Stiller has come from.
White Goodman?
Okay, so I don't want to talk about it too much because it is my plug of the week, but he has a character in one of Judd Apatow's like first big breakthrough movies.
Oh, we talked about this recently.
Okay.
And so it has been his like template character for everyone that he's played afterwards, especially Dodgeball.
I think I might know what you're talking about.
Tony Perkins.
I think we discussed it recently when we did 40-year-old version.
But
no, absolutely, man, and especially Zoolander. That shit was hilarious.
And now he's just killing it as a director?
As a director.
As even a director. That Escape from Dana Morris show. I got to get back on it.
That was also his joint.
But I've heard real good things about the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. And that was one of his first big directing roles.
Yeah, I believe so.
Did he direct Walter Schmidt?
The Life of Walter Schmidt?
Yeah. Was that a directorial movie from him?
The Real Life of Walter Schmidt.
Let's see. Watching Severance, I feel like that's something
Jamie Cosey will look it up real quick.
Jamie. Yo, Josie.
Josie.
Yo, Josie, check that for me.
Comey? No, definitely. No, he's absolutely a stunning director. Severance is definitely his tour de force so far. After, Ted Lasso has been the one thing that's put Apple TV really on the map.
Mm-hmm.
Since then.
Dude, you know what's surprising about Ted Lasso to me is that the guy who made Ted Lasso, I found out like a couple months ago, is the same dude who created Scrubs.
Oh wow.
Really?
Yeah. That's so weird. Okay. Right?
What's his name?
Oh man, he's married to the girl who marries Dr. Cox. I forgot his name.
Okay, I
don't something know. Something Jordan something, but
that's fine.
It's like I was complaining about that earlier when I didn't know this because I was like, how do you create a show as good as Scrubs and then get a miss like Cougar Town? But then I didn't realize he made Ted Lasso, and Ted Lasso
I heard Cougar Town got better once they kind of ditched the season one concept and just went more into the characters. Mm. I never really watched it. I do remember that, though. I do remember the commercials for that. Courtney Cox, that was the first big role, post-Friends. Yeah.
Did you like Scrubs?
It was fun, but I was never as super into it as a lot of my friends were.
Same here. Loved it in like little bits. Lawrence created Scrubs, and
Bill Lawrence.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bill Lawrence. Yeah.
Also created.
And I think Shrinking. I think Shrinking as well. He's doing, and that's supposed to be a really good show.
Is that the Jason Segel?
Yep.
Jason Segel and Harrison Ford.
Apparently,
Harrison Ford hits it out the park.
Harrison Ford's hilarious in Shrinking. Yes.
Have you been watching it, Kosi?
I've watched the first episode and the second episode.
I heard season two is substantially better.
I haven't gone as far, but again, just what I've seen of Shrinking has been great from both Siegel and Ford. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, folks, I think we'll let Kosi take it off in a bit, but we got a very interesting show for you today.
Interesting, you say. Interesting.
Not our usual reviews. It's we're going to see Kosi's creative writing side. And my executive producing hating side.
Well, yours and Eric's. He's
mine and Eric, but I feel like Eric's gonna be nicer. What do you think, Eric?
Well, now I'm just gonna.
You got some hate.
Now I'm just gonna be like, no. Put in Ryan Gosling and take his shirt off.
That's good. That's good, Eric. That's always makes a movie better. Why are you making his movies better?
Hey, I'm making his movies more money, not better.
That's fair. I was going to say put in The Rock.
Oh, that could be a standpoint that I do.
I was going to say put in The Rock.
Put in The Rock and Jack Black.
Jack Black, that's it.
Throw him in the jungle.
For every single character.
Throw him in the jungle.
Adam Sandler, that's it. Movie of the year. The other one was the Awesome-O episode of South Park.
Oh, dude, I have been watching so much South Park recently. Episode, man.
Every movie, just an Adam Sandler movie.
I feel like I kind of I just watched the Pandaverse episode where Cartman is playing Catherine Kennedy. Yeah. And she's just like, put a chick in it, make it gay and super lame.
That's some good stuff. No, South Park knows how to make timely commentary, man.
Oh, dude, yeah.
South Park knows how to make timely social commentary. But all right, Cozy, take it away. Let us know what your idea is.
All right, guys. So, you know, as we have the Oscars coming up this weekend, shout out to the Oscars. You know, we're excited for all
this weekend.
It is this weekend, actually. Yeah.
So the Oscars or the Emmys?
The Oscars, the big
it's March, this weekend. Bro. Wait, it's next weekend.
Yeah.
It's absolutely next week.
Next weekend? Yes. Oh, we're coming up.
It's March 2nd.
March 2nd, okay. Yes. But we are coming up on the Oscars.
Man, that Bob Dylan movie is going to win
something. I guess when this episode releases, it'll be this weekend.
Right. So, like...
There we go.
Thinking ahead, though. So I'm looking at all the nominees, and everybody's just looking just so good, and just in terms of just the project they have. And there's definitely going to be some time for us to see these actors and actresses in new material. So, guys, I'm going to pitch to you guys 5 new movie ideas with some hot young actors and actresses and directors. And you guys are going to decide whether or not these should be greenlit or should be, you know, left in the oven to bake a little bit
with more. With our fake money.
With your fake money, of course. You guys currently, so viewers, you can't see this, but they have piles of money. Of fake coins, as you may.
We're basically Harvey Weinstein, Eric.
Harvey Weinstein without the weirdness.
I'm 2 years...
Weirdness, that's the word
for it. I'm 2 years away from selling out completely.
He's too...
Just letting you know.
Oh, God.
You guys can't...
I'm 1 foot out the door as an executive producer. I will green light anything nowadays.
Oh, really? Okay.
Eric's eyes... You can see the window into his dead soul right now.
Oh, man. Is that what that feeling is?
Yes.
It's a pretty new emotion, so I'm not used to it. But you may have hit it right on the nose. You may have hit it right on the nose.
You know what? With that being said, then, if you're feeling a good mood, you're like this one. So, everyone likes a good comedy. And who better than a genre-bending director as in Judd Apatow? So, I'm figuring we get Judd Apatow, right? Mm. Starring Emma Stone.
I like all these words so far.
So Emma Stone plays an accountant, and she develops an unlikely friendship and alliance with the building's maintenance director or maintenance guy. He's a guy that cleans up all the crap around their building, played by Adam Driver. He's like his character's like Good Will Hunting, part Rain Man, but slightly more but slightly more racist.
Continue.
Yeah, so they develop like a kind of a cute meet cute romance, and while going through there, they're both good with numbers, and she discovers that there's some weird stuff in their numbers, and she uncovers this larger scheme by the company's owner, who we find out at the very end is Will Ferrell in a really really funny cameo.
It's like a Lego movie.
Yeah, so a little bit. So there's a lot of cursing, not so PC jokes, and it'll cost about only like $15 million to make, and it's not going to go to streaming. It'll go right to theaters, and yeah, and it's going to be called Broad Comedy because get it, Emma Stone.
I think
the broad.
Yeah,
I love a lot of things about this.
We're not 80-year-old Italians, Cozy.
But I don't think Adam Driver is the move for this.
You don't like him being the Good Will Hunting, Rain Man kind of.
I think it has to be Adam Sandler.
It has to be somebody in that realm for sure.
I'll go to Netflix, guys. I'm trying to get this sent to theaters.
I could. You know what? I could.
But it could work as a Netflix film. That concept.
I could even see us throwing in like a seaside, like a Seth MacFarlane.
Okay.
I could even see someone more
he's
geared.
Been out of the game for a bit.
Yeah, someone more geared toward like. Dude, when I look at Adam Driver. He is not.
I think he can do comedy.
No, hey, if you watched Black Klansman,
yeah, he's
he
hilarious.
Got a little bit of a flair for it.
And Logan Lucky, he's also hilarious in Logan Lucky.
Yeah,
as
he
well.
got a surprising flair for it.
But I see what you mean. Like putting a maybe not Adam Sandler, but putting a bigger.
Eric, I thought you were gonna say Ryan Gosling, bro. Come on, bro. We already established the joke. Yeah, come on, man. You gotta
the realm of Adam Sandler isn't bad. Like somebody who can be, somebody when you hear the name, you know. Oh, okay. Okay, it's okay. Gotta be one of those movies.
All right, so
it's like, gotta pull me.
So are y'all greenlighting broad comedy, or should I like put this?
Yeah,
put this
in I would. Head? I would even give Adam Driver a couple takes or whatever, like scenes.
Okay,
just be see? Like, let's see what you got, dude.
Okay,
so
I wouldn't even say no to him.
This is Judd Apatow.
Yeah, Judd Apatow is directing.
What was Judd Apatow even doing here? Like, what's the emotional core of this movie?
The emotional core of
this movie, yeah, is it just
that they're like falling in love, right?
Is it just hijinks.
It's kind of almost a throwback to like a 40-year-old virgin, where or like a knocked up, where you know, I guess
both of those movies have a strong emotional core. Or like, is Emma Stone falling in love with Adam Driver?
Yeah, like it's one of those where like at the end, it's at the end they do get together, but it's almost like a send up of these broad comedies, hence why it's called that. But again, it's more to emphasis on the jokes instead of like, oh, what's the emotional core? If that makes sense. And bringing in like a guy like Judd Apatow, I think out of like almost retirement, almost just, I think would be funny kind of like pairing, especially with those two as lead and co-lead.
I'm going to take a pass on it, Cozy. I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh, do you think the director?
Or maybe a better writing class.
Oh man, my feelings. All right, no, that's cool. I have a couple more. But yeah,
we got four more. We got four more, baby.
All right. So this next one. So this one. All right. You know, we have a movie like The Substance. Shout out to The Substance. You know, I'm nominated for Best Picture. And you know, we obviously can't do that because you know I think it's such a great. Take like, on how
can we not do that?
Well, I think it's such a great take on how Hollywood mistreats like its stars, but there's still something to be said about that. So this one is called #Twins. So this stars Scarlett Johansson. So it's about the real life Scarlett Johansson. So you know, Scarlett Johansson, she way back in like 2014, she agreed to a procedure after Age of Ultron actually. That and she didn't think it would be a thing, but she agreed to like get herself cloned. So now that like she's had a successful career and whatnot, it's kind of like on the, I want to say like on the end, but like she hasn't really been like hidden as she should. Mm-hmm. So now you know she's looking at you know employing that having that twin come back and like be in movies in her behalf. You know she has Jurassic World coming up. So, you know she's thinking, all right, I can like go back and use that. So what happens is the clone essentially didn't come out right, and so she tries to explore like she kind of breaks out and like just it's almost like a not like a wild goose chase almost of trying to track down the clone. So she has to get help from her publicist played by Kiki Palmer to like you know go and find this clone. And again, it's almost kind of a look at like how like Hollywood like you know once you get to a certain like age. You kind of like lose like your shelf life, but in this way, and sort of being like all gross and Cronenbergian, like the Substance was, it's kind of almost like all right, you know, like twins, but like it's not taking it like lightly, but it's like hey, this is like basically the twin kind of almost finds her own kind of sentience and trying to like track her down.
Is this gonna be like a like closer to the Substance or closer to like a Blade Runner?
So.
In Living terms of like you, finding,
they already made this show. It's called Living for You with Paul Rudd.
So this one is the one I was hoping would be directed by the Barbie director Greta Gerwig. This one would be more so on like the quirky comedy side.
Mm. I could see this working if, man, you would. You would need more supporting than Kiki if you wanted this to be like a quirky comedy.
So you'd want like
I
more.
I feel like we would Kiki could stay, but we would need to add more.
What do you think of like the actual concept itself, like just the cloning and having that be like a way to like keep
hijinks actors. And finding the clone and stuff?
Yeah, like what do you think about that?
Is this clone going to be like a...
It's literally Living for You.
What's Living for You, actually? I'm not familiar with
it. A Paul Rudd show where he goes to a massage parlor to become a better version of himself. That's the point, selling point. Funny thing in the middle of it is that, you know, like, it supposedly makes you a lot better version of yourself. So mm-hmm. one of the first time Paul Rudd's walking in, he sees Tom Brady walking out of this massage parlor.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells them, at the time, he had 6 rings, so he tells them, hey, how many times have you visited? 6 times. Funny joke, right? Mm. But, yeah, the actual concept of the show is that they don't actually make him a better person through some fancy massage. They clone him, copy the good aspects of his personality, and then kill the original.
Okay.
Bury the original underground. And then Paul Rudd's original manages to wake up and escape, so there's 2 of them now.
Okay.
Which, again, feels like a lot like what's going on here.
So what do you think about of approaching that whole thing in, like, not like a serious tone, but like more kind of...
It was a comedy, actually.
Oh, that was also comedy. Okay. Yes. Okay.
It was a quirky comedy.
All right. So would y'all green light that, or should I be like cooked a little bit more, that hashtag twins?
I think it works better as a drama.
Okay.
I think it works better as a drama.
So the genre is not correct for what I pitched.
No, as. Okay. I mean, because, again, first of all, it's kind of been done, right? Evil twin or crazy twin that, like, goes in and fools people around him.
Yeah, okay.
Right, so The Substance took it on a more horror
psychological
note,
horror level, yeah.
Right, but you could possibly play into some drama of it, make it a character showcase, an acting showcase for Scar Jo.
Okay.
Try to win her an Oscar.
Okay.
At least that makes it more intriguing and unique, in my opinion. Otherwise, you're just doing Living for You, but with a woman.
Big screen, the 90-minute version. Okay. All right. I will then put that in the oven a little bit more. All right. Okay. All right. We'll change of pace. Change of pace then. Okay. So this one will be directed by Ryan Coogler. Okay. And produced by the Coen brothers. All right. So this stars...
Does it star Ryan Gosling?
No, not this time. he passed on this. No, so it stars Michael B. Jordan and Tramell Tillman. He plays Mr. Milkshake on Severance.
Wait, that's his name, Tramell Tillman?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's his real name. Fun fact. So Michael B. Jordan Michael B. Jordan and Tramell Tillman, they played two brothers in 1992. This is during the heat of the Rodney King riots, and they're in Oakland right now. So, like, there's a lot of, like, just tension and whatnot. They want to do like a Shakespeare retelling, like some play in their local theater while, like, the city's like in unrest. And while this is happening, on opening night of their play production, it gets overrun by just zombies. And so this was, again, produced by the Coen brothers. So it has, like, their kind of, like, sensibilities, but, like, still written and directed by Ryan Coogler, but, like, with their flair. And it's a dark comedy, so it's about, like, mostly, like, minority cast, you know, takes place in, like, San Francisco, so, and it has that backdrop of the riots, and it's called a Death Comedy Jam.
Death Comedy Jam.
Death, like D-E, like Death.
Death Comedy Jam. Okay.
Yeah, so, like, a period piece, like, action comedy with Michael B. Jordan and Tramell Tillman. So it would be, like, a real cool way to introduce the world to Mr. Milkshake, because Severance is real hot, and he's going to be picked up for something, so I figured let's get
is
this guy.
Is he a season 2 character?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's a huge season 2.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Was he in season 1?
Mr. Milkshake.
Yeah, Mr. Milkshake.
And the black dude.
With the fro?
Oh, Milchick.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Y'all been saying Milkshake, and I don't know what that means.
I'm sorry, guys. And listeners.
Mr. Milchick. Yeah.
I'm sorry, listeners.
The guy who wants to have dance parties all the time. Yeah.
He's
great, man.
That's what we call
him. He's great.
Mr. Milkshake.
Dude, we just freaked him out.
So confusing. You said Milkshake, and I was like,
what a milkshake now. Yeah. So what do you think? It's one that I think would do well, especially, like, with the director and the Coen brothers stepping into this, like, having, like, a supernatural almost comedy, I think. But they're really, really excited about it, and they wanted to get a person that could tell this story, and who else than an Oakland native and Ryan Coogler.
What do you think, Eric? What do you think?
I think it would need to be turned up, like, on gore. Like it would, it would need to be.
It's R-rated. Yeah, yeah.
It's this could be a fun anti-government movie to come out
92
because
riots,
you have you have society hating cops and zombies hating cops. So those are two things that are just breaking down the system.
But society's crumbling.
But everything's crumbling down.
Those lines.
But you still have the riots.
Yep, the riots like a kind of a backdrop
in the middle of the zombie attacks.
Yep.
Okay.
I think
I can tell some Ben Shapiro type's going to be like, "Oh, so black people see the world ending and still bitching about their rights."
I think it could be fun.
I can see people taking.
You gotta have a Ben Shapiro character.
Well, there'll be like a news bulletin person going on.
Little Benji.
I think it could be a fun movie.
Yeah.
No, but you gotta have like an actual hater on the.
A little Benji.
Make a Paul Dano.
That's great.
He's so slimy to play like
Paul
Dano.
I was thinking somebody shorter.
Giovanni Ribisi.
Too bad Bruno Mars isn't good.
Giovanni Ribisi could do it.
Ooh.
Giovanni Ribisi could pull it off.
He could.
Like slick his hair back, do that.
He's a smaller stature dude too.
Yeah, I like that.
Did y'all see Skinny Pete?
I haven't seen Skinny Pete.
Okay.
Yeah. So okay. Would y'all agree like this one?
I could see this being interesting, to be honest.
I'd watch it.
You'll green light Death.
So where does the movie go? Like plot wise. Like where does it go past the initial concept?
Oh well.
Like, how's the movie end?
Well, at the end, they're able to at least fight off the zombies. There's a cure.
So they eradicate the zombies?
Eradicate is found. But
they eradicate racism?
But they're not able to eradicate the actual things that still exist that are still scarier than the zombies. But it's like, all right, we're still
together.
Does
Michael B. Jordan die?
No, they don't die. Like none of the main characters die, but they're like...
What if we killed Michael B. Jordan so we could put in more Ryan Gosling?
Damn it, Juan. Stop trolling my happy ending. No, but I think they're able to... I think it's like not a bittersweet, but it's like a realistic ending. Like, they do stop the apocalypse, but...
I think that'd be cool too, because you could refilm riot live footage with zombies.
Oh yeah,
in there.
It's just doing shit instead.
Yeah, like all the Koreans on the roofs with their guns. They could just be shooting zombies, man. Yeah, that kind of works.
That could be tricky. That could be fun though.
Yeah, right.
Just a lot of people have different opinions going into it. Yeah, so yeah,
I like that one.
All right, cool. So now going on to my next one now. So again, we're trying to win Oscars, all right? Yes, guys, that's how you know that you're...
You tell that to me after the fourth pitch? We're trying to win Oscars?
It's like random comedies. Bro, you come out and miss the Oscar.
Adam Sandler as an apartment repairman.
Where's Rob Schneider?
All right.
Where's Rob Schneider?
Rob Schneider is the dog.
Well, I think y'all might enjoy this one. So this one is called Five Star Tiger. All right. So it's kind of almost like a Pretty Woman retelling, but for a modern age. But this kind of is a guy.
Is it like a gigolo instead?
Not quite. So here you have a struggling Postmates driver played by Stephen Yeun. His
Who?
Stephen Yeun. He voices.
Oh, Stephen Yeun. Okay.
Yeah.
Like the food people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like he delivers Postmates. That's what he does to make ends meet.
This is a free advertising, man. You couldn't have made it random. That's fair.
Is Stephen Yeun the guy from Walking Dead?
Yeah.
Okay. At least say DoorDash. Okay.
DoorDash? So his world turns upside down when a mistake order gets him involved with a powerful fashion designer, Paula Morgan, played by Sandra Oh. Sandra Oh, she's from Killing Eve. She's also the voice.
Are we just redoing Invincible's casting?
Oh, jeez, Louise. At first, I had Michelle Yeoh, but
go back to Michelle Yeoh, because otherwise it feels... Actually, if you get a good director,
I do have a good director.
Hollywood friendships, right?
I do have a good director. So, I'll keep Michelle Yeoh. So Sandra Oh is in there. So, he gets involved with her, and she kind of, takes him jet-setting. She has an estranged relationship with her sister, who's played by Michelle Yeoh, who's also in the mix. So it's a story about loneliness and what success does to people. It drives wedges between family members, her and her sister, and also what the allure of success can do to drive someone to do like anything to achieve it. And this is directed. This is Five Star Tiger, directed by Martin Scorsese.
So what does he do to achieve success? Did I miss that?
oh, like, so in the like, he kind of like, basically like she kind of uses him as like a boy toy, essentially, like kind of plots him around. He has aspirations to like be like a writer. She's like, hey, I can open some drawers for you. Essentially, he's kind of like whoring himself out to this powerful woman, and she knows she's powerful, and she like, you know, she sinks her claws into him and like uses him, mm-hmm. and kind of like spits him out at the end. And he kind of like comes out no better than he was, than he went in. But he kind of like learned like, hey, that can happen. And that's something that Scorsese, I think, would be able to handle.
They had,
I think,
this plot in The Traitors. Do you remember?
Oh, that's, oh man, okay.
In the what?
In The Detroiters.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, it was.
They
yeah.
had this exact plot in The Detroiters. Yeah. It's hilarious.
I didn't even think about The Detroiters, actually.
That's a yeah. great show, by the way.
Yeah.
Detroiters is amazing.
It is.
But
it's definitely a drama. There's nothing
yeah,
funny
no,
about
I
that
one. Definitely see where you're coming from.
It's
I kind of like it. I kind of like it.
Kind of yeah. like Anora. Kind of like Anora. Essentially, like, if
I don't think I watched that.
In terms of like in terms of the subject matter.
You know,
say.
I think
it could. Sorry, go on.
I think you need to stylize it somehow. Make it almost A24-ish.
Oh, definitely A24. Or neon. Like, or neon.
Or neon. Like some...
Okay.
Because you said fashion, right?
Yeah, she's
some
fashion.
A large...
More unique hook.
Fashion will be a big
a large,
thing.
A large part of it yeah. should be how cutthroat fashion is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and how,
okay.
like...
And it should be... Okay, so if we're talking about a movie, it should be some kind of futuristic-looking fashion, mm-hmm. or they're using... dangerous materials or something that like
or not even futuristic.
Lets you put on sharp fancy colors and things we haven't usually seen on screen to make it visually distinct. Does that make sense?
Okay, yeah, just make the fashion look.
Otherwise, again, it just feels like edge. Just a old school drama from the 90s.
Okay,
right. I feel like if you stylize it a bit, put some art into the set design, some into the cinematography, it could be interesting.
And the story does call for it. Her being a fashion designer, like the best in the world. Yeah. Okay. So would y'all green light that, or should I like cook that a little bit more?
Actually, that's the only one I've liked so far, to be honest.
The five-star tiger? So you green light five-star tiger?
Probably a better title. I don't get what that means.
Because of the Postmates. Because of the DoorDash, she gave him the review.
So and she's the tiger?
She calls him that.
How?
Well, now it is.
I wasn't even thinking about that.
I was thinking like Tiger Mom type shit.
I didn't even think about that actually. And then he
I like the title.
And then he reminded me about Invincible's mom. I was like, oh, all right. You know what? I'll work on the title too.
Five star something, but
I'll work
tiger.
On the title.
Not Tiger.
Yeah.
Five star dragon.
That's even more racist.
I know. I know.
Okay.
Yeah. Five star driver.
All right. Yeah. I'll work on that one.
Yeah. Okay. I kind of like that.
Okay.
What would his name in the movie be?
Say it, Cosi. Hey, you have to have it off the top of your tongue.
Jason.
Jason?
Yeah.
Jason?
Jason.
Okay. Jason?
Yeah.
Five-star Jason.
Five-star Jason.
Five-star Jason. Okay. Five-star Karma Jason.
Yeah, because right. Isn't that usually how it's read out?
That's
five
what
stars
she says.
The person's
okay,
name?
That's what she says.
Yeah. Five stars.
Five stars Jason.
I like that better, right?
Okay, I like that. All right.
Five stars, comma Jason.
Yeah. Five stars Jason. Okay. And now for my last one. All right. Again.
Last and least.
Hopefully not least. Hopefully not least.
Too late. Juan already said it is.
So this, again, we're trying to go for the Oscars again. Because, again, these seem to be what wins and gets studios a lot of traction. So this will be an A24 movie. So a young woman named Margaret Qualley. I mean, played by Margaret Qualley. So she's she accepts a date on a dating app, and the guy that she accepts a date on a date with, he's blind. He's a blind guy, played by Timothée Chalamet. And so they basically just meet up.
Is this movie called Blind Date?
No, it's actually called Bound.
Okay, sorry, go on.
Bound.
Yeah, Bound. So basically, it's just a story about just them developing a relationship. Kind of like she didn't realize that he was blind, but he's like, what? Like, it shouldn't really make a difference. And it really is about, it's a big character piece about just them falling
in
love.
How long does the movie take for her to realize that he's blind?
Oh, no, it's within, like, at the meet, he, like, okay. comes in, like, doing, like, okay. the whole thing. And, like, it's kind of a thing where, like, you're not gonna be weirded out by this, right? He's like, no, not really. It's like, and, like, they kind of, like, settled that. But the story is about how, you know, society's like, oh, you really got to go out with this guy? And it kind of brings up issues about, oh, what if, would you actually date somebody like who did have a disability, and like how people would view you, how like life will be hard for them and all that stuff.
I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like, yeah, of course blind people date people. Is that a particularly big disability? I don't know, man. Something about that feels...
I would never watch this movie.
You're right.
I would never spend money. But that's just because... these like feel-good movies just aren't for me as well. Like...
Even though Denis Villeneuve directed this, this is like what he wanted to do, like, in between.
I don't give a shit who directs this.
He's like a big sci-fi show.
He like want, well, like
he's just showing a basic ass relationship between a blind guy and a normal girl.
Well, like he came from making smaller movies before. He did Dune and all that. He made like small movies like Prisoners and whatnot. It's more so like he did this in between the other Dune movies, essentially, like a kind of almost like a palate cleanser for him, like a drama, whatever.
She
has to have like. She has to be like a leper or something.
It's got to be bigger than blind. Yeah, like right. He's got to have.
Think of
did you ever watch the movie The Mask where the kid had the crazy deformed head and she was blind?
Yeah, Eric Stoltz. Yeah.
That works because they both had something crazy. Like, if he's just blind and she's a normal person.
What the hell? Of course they're falling.
I see that every day.
Yeah, the blind people deserve love too. Yeah. Yeah. Horrific disability.
Okay.
If he was blind and she had like
tentacles on her face, she was like, oh, she was Medusa. She was Medusa.
She was a Gorgon. Okay.
Yeah. See, that would be more interesting.
Okay.
But yeah.
Oh God, I'm sorry, man. That was bad.
Well, that's why. Hey, you can't win all of them, and that's why we kind of ended on the least. When
I did call it out.
Last and least.
I did call it out. No, it's just because the blind thing. I can't get over that. It's just such a normal disability.
Oh yeah, no, I got that. So that's a no for you guys on Bound as well.
Like blind people would be like, "Fuck you, fuck this movie."
Yeah, right.
Oh, sorry, guys.
Making it sound like we're like just completely disabled.
You think we're mutants or something? You jackass.
Yeah, right.
Acting no, like just completely... that's not what I... Okay. Sorry, guys.
Some monstrous person. Oh my God, he's blind. Can you imagine?
Can he get away from him? He's blind.
So, I'm sorry. Man, that was cold-blooded, but...
No, so that y'all passed on Bound. You guys passed on Twins, I believe, with the Scarlett Johansson one.
I think Twins?
The Scarlett Johansson?
We were
okay with that one.
Okay.
If we edited it a little bit.
Okay. You passed on Five Star.
That was the one.
I liked Five Star.
Five Star, okay.
I liked Five Star and The Zombie.
Then the Death Comedy Jam you guys liked.
Zombie was solid.
And then how about Broad Comedy?
Nah.
Okay. All right. So 2 out of 5. So I'm not so far in the series.
2.5 out of 5.
Yeah, 2.5 out of 5. I'm batting. I looked the last one. I only got, I think, one. One.
I thought
of them,
we were picking one last time. To be honest, maybe we picked the best one.
Oh yeah. So like, is there one that stuck out of y'all as being the best on this series?
Probably the Sandra Oh one.
Yeah.
Five stars, Jason. All right, you heard it, guys. You heard it here first, guys. 5 stars, Jason. Hopefully, coming to save Hollywood and get that Oscar money.
Nobody can save Hollywood.
Hollywood is dead, Cosey.
Oh, no.
We tried last year, remember?
We'll try again to resurrect it. But thanks for playing, guys. Thank you.
No, honestly, it's weird because Hollywood has been taking some interesting risks lately.
They have.
At least this year.
Yeah.
A24, Neon, all these... independent films, non-big budget films, I think, are the way moving forward.
I feel like at some point we need to move A24 out of the independent film category because they're not that independent.
The thing
anymore.
Is, it's they're, a low budget. It's
yeah,
still
it's
low
a budget.
Budget.
Right.
Yeah, but
they're not putting on $200 million movies.
No. Yeah, but I mean, you don't have to put out $200 million movies to not be independent.
Okay, I can see why.
I get where you're coming from. I get where you're coming from, but it's still, if it's like a $20 million budget movie, it's still. Independent probably feels like a little low, But it's definitely not up there with the big studios and what they're
Yeah, spending. I wouldn't call it to 24 like a big like budget studio.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I'm looking
They have their
at,
niche. They have yeah. their niche.
And they're good at it too.
I feel like
they're definitely making returns.
I feel like we're overexposed to it too. Like if I point out these people to a lot of people, these movies to a lot of random folks on the street, they're going to be like, "What are you talking about? Who is this? What are these movies?"
See, I feel the opposite. I feel like everyone that I know knows about A24 movies and have seen A24 movies and are looking forward for A24 movies. So, I don't know. I feel like eventually I can't call A24 independent anymore.
It's just not mainstream. I'm not sure what the perfect word for it is, but it's not.
Neon probably still, yeah. But A24 is growing.
I think Neon is what A24 was like six, seven years ago. Yeah. Like, Neon's like up and coming, up and coming. So it's really cool to see that,
they
too.
They took their milkshake.
Yeah.
About to win an Oscar, apparently.
Right? Just about to. Yeah.
I gotta watch Anora, actually. I've heard really good things.
Yeah.
Anora?
Anora. Yeah.
A-N-O-R-A?
A-N-O-R-A. Even though we're supposedly, we watch these type of movies. See, it's independent enough where you don't hear about the Oscar frontrunner.
A lot of the time, you don't really hear about the Oscar
winner. It's supposed to be a really good movie, but it's the latest big Neon movie.
Yeah.
And again, Neon, I feel like we're overexposed to it because we like these types of movies.
And we
really do
go
feel like if I go up to like my sisters and be like, hey, did you watch Companion? They're just going to be like, what are you
Yeah, but like, about? I'm also at the age and at the point in life where I'm not going to watch a movie just because the Oscar said I should. Anora said raunchy comedy. I'm probably not going to watch it for a very long time.
I've heard it's actually really good.
Yeah, but like, when am I going to want to sit down and watch a raunchy comedy as Eric Mott? That's just not like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to watch every movie that the Oscars is like, I wouldn't say this.
It doesn't seem like a traditional Oscar movie from what everything I've heard about it.
And I want to be clear, I'm not bashing on the movie. It's just not something that I would
want to go sit down and see.
It's
not one of those.
Well, Substance is more my thing. Horror and more that shit.
Okay,
than,
so it comes down to kind of like what you're
into. Okay. Like, man, I have so many things I'm doing that I don't want to spend an hour 32 hours on a movie where I know if I might not like it, I'm probably not gonna like unless I'm in a group of people who all are watching this movie, then that's different. But like, I'm probably not gonna sit down by myself and be like, cool, let's watch Anora.
I got you.
Yeah, having a wife helps with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, see, that's I get that.
But I
get that.
I would give it a chance because everything I've heard about it, like raunchy comedy makes it sound like some American Pie stuff. It's not.
No. Not at
all. Yeah. It's more interesting than that.
Yeah, it's more serious and dramatic.
Actually, I gotta give credit to the Oscars. The kind of movies that are getting nominated this year are frankly not the usual nominees. Not some Green Book type bullshit or La La Land. I thought those are bad movies. But they're got the Oscar type.
It's not the traditional ones you'd see.
No.
Kind of like that nobility, that kind of Oscar prestige, kind of Oscar chasing movies, right?
Yeah.
Oscar bait, right? That's what they call it, Oscar bait.
Oscar bait.
It doesn't feel like those types of movies. It feels like movies that are actually taking interesting creative risks. Even Dune. Dune 2, I don't know if the creative risk is the right word, but that's, I honestly feel like that should be winning Best Picture. It's crazy to me that that's getting no recognition when it's such an epic,
I think
because
it's such a big sci-fi like mainstream. I won't say that there's like a bias towards it, but it does feel as though it's a movie that wouldn't really get that Best Picture nod because it's pretty big and it's a big, but it's gorgeously made and well acted.
Lord of the Rings got a bunch.
Lord of the Rings won.
You know
bunch.
What I think? Yeah. Part of the problem is, alright, it's mind blowing. Dune 2 came out before last year's Oscars.
2024, yeah.
I honestly feel like that is a big part of the problem. You know what I mean? We literally did a review on here on Dune 2 before we did an Oscar review.
Yeah, the week before the Oscars, actually. Yeah.
So that's how shamelessly old it feels.
I think it was. I think it was supposed to come out November of 2023.
It absolutely was.
Yeah.
I feel like it would have had a better chance of winning last year.
Yeah, most definitely.
What won last year? I forget.
Let me see.
Oppenheimer, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're right. It was Oppenheimer. Actually, that would have had a hard time.
Yeah, Oppenheimer. Oh, yeah.
Oppenheimer was a great fucking movie.
Yes, I think I watched that too many times, though. The pacing on that was a little iffy.
I watched it twice, and I liked it.
I watched it like 5 times.
Yeah, I watched it 3 times. Yeah.
And yeah, by the 4th time, I was like, but even by the 3rd time, I was like, God damn it.
It's also a haul. It's a long.
I just kept finding different stuff upon the rewatches.
No, absolutely. Like, just but really the ending, the pacing on the ending is bizarre.
Kind of. Yeah. Definitely kind of travels on a little bit. Just
like, the bomb explodes, and then they're like, oh, there's a whole 45 minutes left. What? I thought this movie was over.
Yeah. You would think the bomb explodes in like 10, 15 minutes of
the climax,
like,
but it's not.
I do think it deserved Best Picture, though.
I think so, too.
I actually enjoyed Barbie more, but that's fair.
As an enjoyment factor, yes, but like from a filmmaking standpoint, Oppenheimer, I actually do
agree with that.
I had a better time watching Barbie, for sure, but yeah, give it up for Chris Nolan.
Yeah, go back to your MFA class.
I will, guys, and I'm gonna come back with much better material. You guys will be proud of the work I did, and thanks for listening.
No, I did like the Asian.
Five stars, Jason.
I think that had some.
Me too.
I like how you were like, let's get rid of Tiger. It sounds too racist. And you're like, I like the Asian one.
What's that one?
The one with all the Asians. What's the one with all the Asian people?
All right.
No, man. Definitely glad to hear your ideas, Cozy. What do you think, Eric? Are any of these going to make money, or are we just setting money on fire?
No, I think the zombie one, man, here's the thing. Zombie movies, you don't even need to do zombie movies right, and they make money, as long as you have a good cast and a bunch of bashing zombies.
People making
Can we make, what's his face, Jonathan Major one of the zombies?
Well,
this is a joke.
This is one of those.
Have get beat.
This would have been the one he would have been in.
Is there a woman in this movie?
Oh yeah, so Tiana Paris. She played Monica Rambeau in the
Marvel.
Okay,
yeah. So she have her beat up Jonathan Majors. That'd be fun.
I also wouldn't be upset if you got the big guy from Us.
Oh, Winston Duke.
Winston Duke.
I thought of putting him in there.
I wouldn't mind Winston Duke in that movie.
But he'd be in there as one of the actors.
In Black Panther?
Because it's a big cast.
Oh, he wasn't Black Panther. Yeah.
He's in Baku.
Oh, this is his first big role.
In Baku.
I'm a big fan of him.
So, there'll be like a really cool little shot of like all the characters. So, Winston Duke will be in there like with a big mallet in his hand.
Yeah.
Lupita, she could be in there too, so... Yeah,
just throw it.
That will absolutely make money.
And directed by Ryan Coogler, but like the Coen brothers came up with the idea. They're like, "Yo, like y'all can tell a story about this." And Ryan Coogler was like, "Well, we're from Oakland, so you want to give us some money to make this?" Mm-hmm. And that's how it got. That's
because like I already know that if you just make that soundtrack of like the music around that time, it's going to be banger.
It's 92, so
dude. Yeah. So like, there's a lot of things working for
NWA,
that.
NWA, like Public Enemy, so like a lot of that stuff will be like a big part of like the sound of it.
Seattle. You need to have Giovanni.
What's Seattle?
Not Seattle. No, talking about Oakland.
That's right.
You need to have Giovanni Ribisi shouting, "Stop those black people right now!" At least one point in the movie.
If we could get a, what's his name? He played Gus Fring. Oh my gosh, can't forget.
Giancarlo.
As a just in there, as one of the shop owners.
just in there.
Dude, don't speak no Spanish. Sorry, guy. Great actor, don't speak any Spanish.
Yeah. Wait, who doesn't speak any Spanish? Wait, what?
Gus Fring?
Yeah. What about him?
He doesn't speak any Spanish.
Really?
Yeah.
Giancarlo doesn't know any Spanish?
At all. He's like African.
Really dude, he speaks Spanish so well in some scenes.
He's Afro-Latino.
No, he does not. That's what I'm telling you.
I think he's Afro-Latino, but doesn't speak Spanish.
He fooled me, because I'm not Spanish. Yes. But.
Yeah.
If you've actually ever heard anybody really speak Spanish, he does not sound like that.
Damn, that's upsetting to me.
Yeah.
I'm mad for you.
Yeah. It's not as bad as Selena Gomez.
I go back and watch his scenes and he's just like, taco, taco, burrito. Like, oh my God, he's right. This is nonsense.
No, the words are correct, but he obviously doesn't know what he's saying.
Yeah.
Apparently, Jackie Chan used to not understand most of the English, that he could not understand what Tucker Carlson was saying.
Yeah, there was a...
Well, not Tucker Carlson, Chris Tucker.
There's a video with...
he probably could not understand Tucker Carlson either.
Wrong Tucker.
There's a video with the guy who played Malfoy's dad. He was in a movie with Jackie Chan called The Tuxedo.
Yes.
So he was being interviewed behind the scenes, and
probably
he said,
a great movie, but a fun.
He was like something movie. Crazy about Jackie Chan that like because they were asking him like
Jason Isaacs.
They were like, how is it working with Jackie Chan? He's like, he does these incredible things. Like, first off, he doesn't understand any English. Like, I'll ask him something. I'm like, oh, how much do you fly here and how much do you fly to China? And he's like, huh? And like they hold up phonetic cards behind him so he can sound it out. But he's like that, but he'll do some crazy stuff. Like, there's a fly, and Jason Isaacs was like, I was trying to catch it, and I kept missing it. And Jackie Chan's like, no, Jason, flies have eyes all around. You have to come in slow and catch. And he's like, okay. And he just grabs a fly out of his hand. He's like, there's no way you have a fly in your hand.
Of course, Jackie.
And Jackie Chan's just like, I'm Jackie Chan. And he opens up his hand, the fly comes out.
Of course.
Jason Isaacs is like, do that one more time. And Jackie Chan is like this, and he goes, and he grabs the fly. He goes, there's no way you got it that time. He goes, Jackie Chan.
That's hilarious.
Dude, it's crazy. Jackie Chan is dude, the new Karate Kid trailer.
Yes.
Looks incredible.
Ralph Macchio and Jackie Chan.
It looks so good.
I love it. And Cobra Kai is actually ending its series run on Netflix.
So. Oh, dude. Yeah. I'm going to be a sad boy the day that Jackie goes, man.
Stop. Please stop. Hurts my
it's
going to
happen.
Hurts
it's going to happen.
Did I ever tell you the time that drunk Eric during COVID just went on online auctions and just bought a bunch of shit, and I bought an autographed picture of Jackie Chan that says I love you?
Oh, the thing my daddy never said
this
to me.
This is literally hanging in my apartment. It's a photo of him as Inspector Lee hanging off of the Hollywood sign.
Yes, yeah. Okay.
But he signed his...
I think I've seen that. I think you showed us when you bought that shit. Oh, my God.
Yeah, dude, drunk Eric during COVID just would drink a lot and then buy a bunch of shit on online auctions. And a bunch of the stuff was really lame, but some of the things are pretty cool.
Thanks, guys.
But
watch Five Stars Jason?
Five Stars Jason?
Five Stars Jason.
Only worthwhile idea from Cozy. No, I actually liked the zombie movie.
Thank you.
The Ryan Coogler, just Ryan Coogler being involved helps.
Yeah, me too. And Michael B. Jordan. That's a great team up.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Unoriginal, but sometimes the classics work.
That's sometimes works. Sometimes works.
Any last thoughts, Eric? Do we fire Cozy outright?
No, but Cozy, if you could come up with a pitch next time of James Mangold doing another adaptation of a comic book movie or a comic book.
Okay.
Logan was awesome.
It was awesome.
And I didn't think he could do something like that.
I think he has another one in him with another character. Yeah. But one, aren't we going to...
You're absolutely right, listeners. For the keen-eyed amongst you who are not actually watching, we have a brand new wheel. Actually, the same old wheel, but dressed up fancy now. That's a better way to put it.
Shouts out to
my wife.
Yeah, man. Super
shouts out. My wife...
Super shouts out.
I'm sorry. That shit never gets old 20 years later.
Yeah.
Give you the castle.
My wife.
Anyways, so we streamlined it a little bit. We got the wheel with eight different streaming services, but Paramount Plus and Peacock, because they're bitch-ass services, they only count for half. So they only get one slice instead of two slices like all the other different streaming services. We got Crunchyroll on here, Max, Prime, Apple TV, Netflix, Disney Plus, and then Paramount Plus and Peacock, half each. Then the second spin is for the genre. We have action, which includes things like adventure, any kind of high-octane series, most superhero movies. We got comedy. Obviously, that needs no explanation. Suspense. That includes thrillers, horror movies, any kind of very suspenseful, edge-of-your-seat TV show or movie. We got drama. Pretty much any serious show at that point, right? Everyone knows what a drama is. And then reality. Not just reality TV, but obviously documentaries, anything along those lines, even new shows, I guess. Anything that's just reality-based, non-scripted TV. So, yeah, we will let Eric do the honors.
All right, first spin, baby. Streaming service?
Yes.
Let's spin the wheel!
Okay, it looks like we have Apple TV, baby. Oh, man, nobody's going to have this fucking streaming service, so good luck, y'all. All right, second spin. I was going to say Severance. Suspense. We can't say Severance. No, I'm just kidding.
Suspense. All right.
Let's check it out real quick.
Here we go.
Apple does have some quality stuff.
Yes, quality suspense.
Okay. Right off the top, there is a mystery show surface with, what do you call it? What's this girl's name?
Oh, that's Gugu Mbatha-Raw.
Yes, the girl from...
From Loki. She was...
She was in Loki. She was in something else, too.
She was in the new...
Isn't she in freaking Cloverfield Game of Thrones?
No. That's different.
Let me see.
Yeah, Gugu Mbatha-Raw.
So there's that, and there's a show called Prime Target that's in season one, a little bit newer. What do you think? Eric, we'll let you
decide. Yeah, Eric. It's, no pressure, bro.
Either that or maybe Slow Horses. It's a little bit of an older show, but it's supposed to be really good.
I would say do Slow Horses.
Do Slow Horses?
I've heard really good things about Slow Horses.
Okay. You want to do Slow Horses, Cosey?
Let's do Slow Horses.
Aaron said Slow Horses was great.
Let's do it.
No, we'll give this a solid recommendation. We are going to do Slow Horses.
On Apple TV Plus.
Let's see, how many seasons in? 4 seasons in, so it could be definitely worthwhile to start keeping up with. Gary Oldman?
Uh-huh.
Gary Oldman is the lead. Very British show, so definitely excited to see what we come up with that.
All right.
Thanks for the spinner. We got something good for once.
Absolutely, absolutely. I know last time I spinned it was an MGM Paramount whatever show.
And actually, that was the one Escape from Dan and Moore. Yeah, it's not bad.
Oh, really?
It wasn't
bad.
Okay. It was not bad.
Yeah. Okay.
That was not that bad. But, yeah. No, good stuff. And so, I think it's time for Plug of the Week, I believe.
Plug of the Week. Guess I'll go first, guys. So,
I thought guests were first, because...
Oh, man, I'm so rude.
You go first.
You go first this time.
All right, he's being generous, Cozy.
Okay. So my plug of the week is actually it's a trailer for a new movie called Bring Her Back. It's the new movie from the Philippou brothers. They did the movie called Talk to Me.
Wait, hold on. Your plug is a trailer?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm excited for it. But it's more like a teaser because like just a bunch of like images that don't even tell the story. But it's like, hey, this comes out this summer. I'm really excited about their work from Talk to Me to like their YouTube channel called Raka Raka. Like early days, they made like these crazy stunt videos where like they did like a Street Fighter as they're in their backyard. So like to see like their progression to that to making Talk to Me, and now this is like their next thing. And you know, they could have made anything else, but they decided to make this movie. It looks kind of crazy. It has the woman from what's the movie called?
Hold on, you spoiled the trailer.
Oh no! Well, because she's in it. Sally Hawkins is her name. She was in Shape of Water. It stars her. So that's the only person I know that's in it. It looks good. So it's a crazy movie. Comes out this summer.
Catch it on YouTube.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. you can watch it, but it will be out in theaters this summer.
Don't forget to smash that subscribe button.
I don't know if we should be plugging trailers, but that seems like we're just plugging advertising.
I want to plug the sandwich I had the other day.
Oh, no, I was excited about the trailer. So.
That's fair.
I see nothing wrong with trailers.
I'm sorry, Cozy. I'm sorry I'm hating.
No, it's all right. But yeah, but that's my plug of the week.
All right. Do you want me to go, Eric, so you can go last?
Yeah.
All right. So my plug of the week, so we kind of plugged it last week, barely, but real plug this week. Oh, no, we just plugged it the other day on with the Severance episode. Damn it.
Here, you want me to go so you can think of another one?
Actually, I was gonna plug Silent Hill 2. It's a scary ass game. Haven't fully beaten it. It's a top tier remake of the original back from the PlayStation days. Love to add it back. That shit goes. But top tier remake of the original. Great graphics. only maybe criticism is that it seems like a remake of a PlayStation 2 game. You can't enter most buildings, and it's kind of...
The main character is very unathletic.
Very unathletic.
He can't even step
out of the police. Not as bad as Alan Wake, though. I was surprised.
Oh, man.
Alan Wake is tragically bad at athleticism.
Yeah, yeah.
Even when he's scared for his life, that guy could run more than 10 feet.
Without... At least there's a part of the game where James Sunderland will jump down a series of dark holes, but he's jumping.
Yes.
That's physical activity.
It is. I gotta get prepared for that. Interesting game. Creepy game. The enemies aren't even human beings. I thought they were gonna be like junkies and shit, but no, it's like creepy corpses.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Interesting stuff. Alright,
Aaron. I'm glad you're playing that game. My plug has some relevance. It's the 30th anniversary of this movie. It was I don't know if it's his breakthrough movie, breakout movie, but it's a very old movie that Judd Apatow did. It's on Disney Plus. It was a Disney movie. It's called Heavyweights.
Oh, great! That's a classic.
It's about a bunch of kids who go to a fat camp, and they go to this camp because the camp teaches them to have fun and how to be themselves. But the year that this main character decides to go is the camp gets taken over by a character named Tony Perkis, which is Ben Stiller, early Ben Stiller crazy character. Great movie, very, very, very funny. Very funny for a Disney movie. But yeah, Judd Apatow, Ben Stiller does a great job. You're not really going to recognize that. Oh, the guy who did Spy and Ghostbusters, Paul Feig.
Oh, yeah, Paul Feig did it.
He's an actor in that movie.
Oh, he's in the movie.
He plays one of the main counselors. He's super young. Man, okay. I didn't recognize it until the credits rolled, and I was like, oh, that's Paul Feig.
Paul Feig, okay.
Yeah, yeah, but it's a bunch of laughs, very quotable. Very, very quotable movie. But yeah, it's great. So that's going to be my plug.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Eric, and thanks, Juan, and also thank you, listeners. Again, I want to thank y'all for tuning in to this episode. Again, you can find us on most every single streaming platform. We can even find us now on Apple Podcasts along with Spotify. Again, you can find us on YouTube with these in their full entirety. Find us on Instagram, talk to us on Reddit, and again, yeah, just find us anywhere you stream. But once again, I'm joined always by Wani B and also Eric in the studio, and until next time, guys, peace.
Adios.
Goodbye.